Welcome to Coco Club.
This is our last week doing Coco Club. Next week, we're going to start a new program called Short Stories with Miss Sam at 8:30 on Sunday mornings on WHDD 91.9, brought to you by the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon and Robin Hood Radio. For our final Coco Club, we'll be finishing The Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen. So we last left little Gerda when she had gone from the Lapland woman's house and was riding her reindeer to find the Finland woman. When Gerda had warmed herself and eaten and drunk, the Lapland woman wrote a few words on a dried haberdine, begged Gerda to take care of them, put her on the reindeer, bound her fast, and away sprang the animal. Tsa, tsa was again heard in the air. The most charming blue lights burned the whole night in the sky, and at last they came to Finland. They knocked at the chimney of the Finland woman, for as to a door, she had none. There was such a heat inside that the Finland woman herself went about almost naked. She was diminutive and dirty. She immediately loosened little Gerda's clothes, pulled off her thick gloves and boots, for otherwise the heat would have been too great, and after laying a piece of ice on the reindeer's head, read what was written on the fish skin. She read it 3 times, then she knew it by heart, so she put the fish in the cupboard, for it might very well be eaten, and she never threw anything away. Then the reindeer related his own story first, and afterwards that of little Gerda, and the Finland woman winked her eyes, but said nothing. "You are so clever," said the reindeer. "You can, I know, twist all the winds of the world together in a knot. If the seaman loosens one knot, then he has a good wind. If a second, then it blows pretty stiffly. If he undoes the third and fourth, then it rages so that the forests are upturned. Will you give the little maiden a potion, so that she may possess the strength of 12 men and vanquish the Snow Queen?" "The strength of 12 men," said the Finland woman. "Much good that would be." Then she went to the cupboard and drew out a large skin rolled up. When she had unrolled it, strange characters were to be together, while the animal got some fresh ice and put it on his head. "'Tis true little Kay is at the Snow Queen's, and finds everything there quite to his taste, and he thinks it is the very best place in the world, but the reason of that is, he has a splinter of glass in his eye and in his heart. These must be got out first, otherwise he'll never go back to mankind, and the Snow Queen will retain her power over him. But can you give little Gerda nothing to take which will endue her with the power over the whole?" "I can give her no more power than what she has already. Don't you see how great it is? Don't you see how men and animals are forced to serve her, how well she gets through the world barefooted? She must not hear of her power from us. That power lies in her heart, because she is a sweet and innocent child. But if she cannot get to the Snow Queen by herself and rid little Kay of the glass, we cannot help her. 2 miles hence, the garden of the Snow Queen begins. Thither you may carry the little girl. Set her down by the large bush with red berries standing in the snow. Don't stay talking, but hasten back as fast as possible." And now the Finland woman placed little Gerda on the reindeer's back, and off he ran with all imaginable speed. "Oh, no, I have not got my boots. I have not brought my gloves," cried little Gerda. She remarked she was without them from the cutting frost, but the reindeer dared not stand still. On he ran till he came to the great bush with the red berries, and there he set Gerda down, kissed her mouth, while large bright tears flowed from the animal's eyes, and then back he went as fast as possible. There stood poor Gerda now, without shoes or gloves, in the very middle of the dreadful icy Finland. She ran on as fast as she could. There she came to a whole regiment of snowflakes, but they did not fall from above. They were quite bright and shining from the aurora borealis. The flakes ran along the ground, and nearer they came, the larger they grew. Gerda well remembered how large and strange snowflakes appeared when she once saw them through a magnifying glass. But now they were large and terrific in another manner. They were alive. They were the outposts of the Snow Queen. They had the most wondrous shapes. Some looked like large, ugly porcupines. Others like snakes knotted together, with their little heads sticking out, and others, again, like small fat bears, with the hair standing on end. All were of dazzling whiteness. All were living snowflakes. Little Gerda repeated the Lord's Prayer. The cold was so intense that she could see her own breath, which came out like smoke of her mouth. It grew thicker and thicker and took the form of little angels that grew more and more when they touched the earth. All had helms on their heads and lances and shields in their hands. They increased in numbers, and when Gerda had finished the Lord's Prayer, she was surrounded by a whole legion. They thrust at the horrid snowflakes with their spears, so that they flew into 1,000 pieces, and little Gerda walked on bravely and in security. The angels patted her hands and feet, and then she felt the cold less, and went on quickly towards the palace of the Snow Queen. But now we shall see how Kay fared. He never thought of Gerda, and least of all that she was standing before the palace. The seventh story. What took place in the palace of the Snow Queen, and what happened afterward? The walls of the palace were of driving snow, and the windows and doors of cutting winds. There were more than 100 halls there, according as the snow was driven by the winds. The largest was many miles in extent. All were lighted by the powerful aurora borealis, and all were so large, so empty, so icy cold, and so resplendent. Mirth never reigned here. There was never even a little bare ball with the storm for music, while the polar bears went on their hind legs and showed off their steps. Never a little tea party of white young lady foxes. Vast, cold, and empty were the halls of the Snow Queen. The northern lights shone with such precision that one could tell exactly when they were at their highest or lowest degree of brightness. In the middle of the empty, endless hall of snow was a frozen lake. It was cracked in 1,000 pieces, but each piece was so like the other that it seemed the work of a cunning artificer. In the middle of this lake sat the Snow Queen when she was at home. Then she said she was sitting in the mirror of understanding, and that this was the only one and the best thing in the world. Little Kay was quite blue, yes, nearly black with cold, but he did not observe it, for she had kissed away all the feeling of cold from his body, and his heart was a lump of ice. He was dragging along some pointed flat pieces of ice, which he laid together in all possible ways, for he wanted to make something with them, just as we have little flat pieces of wood to make geometrical figures with, called the Chinese puzzle. Kay made all sorts of figures, the most complicated, for it was an ice puzzle for the understanding. In his eyes the figures were extraordinarily beautiful, and of utmost importance, for the bit of glass which was in his eye caused this. He found whole figures which represented a written word, but he never could manage to represent just the one word he wanted. That word was eternity, and the Snow Queen had said, "If you can discover that figure, you shall be your own master, and I will make you a present of the whole world and a pair of new skates." But he could not find it out. "I am going now to warm lands," said the Snow Queen. "I must have a look down into the black cauldrons." It was the volcanoes of Vivius and Etna that she meant. "I will give them a long coating of white, for that is how it ought to be. Besides, it is good for the oranges and the grapes." Then away she flew, and Kay sat quite alone in the empty halls of ice that were miles long, and looked at the blocks of ice, and thought till his skull almost cracked. There he sat, quite benumbed and motionless. One would have thought he was frozen to death. Suddenly little Gerda stepped through the great portal into the palace. The gate was formed of cutting winds, but Gerda repeated her evening prayer, and the winds were laid through as they slept, and the little maiden entered the vast, empty, cold halls. There she beheld Kay. She recognized him, flew to embrace him, and cried out, her arms firmly holding him, flew to embrace him, and cried out, her arms firmly holding him the while, Kay, sweet little Kay, have I then found you at last? But he sat quite still, benumbed and cold. Then little Gerda shed burning tears. They fell onto his bosom. They penetrated to his heart. They thawed the lumps of ice and consumed the splinters of the looking-glass. He looked at her, and she sang the hymn. The rose in the valley is blooming so sweet, and angels descend there to children. There the children to greet. Hereupon Kay burst into tears. He wept so much that the splinter rolled out of his eye, and he recognized her and shouted, Gerda, sweet little Gerda, where have you been so long, and where have I been? He looked around him. How cold it is here! How empty and cold! And he held fast by Gerda, who laughed and wept for joy. It was so beautiful that even the blocks of ice danced about, and when they were tired and laid themselves down, they formed exactly the letters which the Snow Queen had told him to find out. So now he was his own master, and he would have the whole world and a pair of new skates into the bargain. Gerda kissed his cheeks, and they grew quite blooming. She kissed his eyes, and they shone like her own. She kissed his hands and feet, and he was again well and merry. The Snow Queen might come back as soon as she liked. There stood his discharge written in resplendent masses of ice. They took each other by the hand and wandered forth out of the large hall. They talked of their old grandmother and of roses upon the roof, and wherever they went the winds ceased raging and the sun burst forth, and when they reached the bush with the red berries, they found the reindeer waiting for them. He had brought another, a young one, with him, whose udder was filled with milk, which he gave to the little ones, and kissed their lips. They then carried Kay and Gerda first to the Finland woman, where they warmed themselves in the warm room, and learned what they were to do on their journey home, and then they went to the Lapland woman, who made some new clothes for them and repaired their sledges. The reindeer and the young hind leaped along beside them and accompanied them to the boundary of the country. Here the first vegetation peeped forth. Here Kay and Gerda took leave of the Lapland woman. Farewell, farewell, they all said. And the first green buds appeared. The first little birds began to chirp. And out of the wood came, riding on a magnificent horse, which Gerda knew. It was one of the leaders in the golden carriage. A young damsel, with a bright red cap on her head, and armed with pistols. It was the little robber maiden, who, tired of being at home, had determined to make a journey to the north, and afterwards in another direction, if that did not please her. She recognized Gerda immediately, and Gerda knew her too. It was a joyful meeting. "You're a fine fellow for tramping about," said she to little Kay. "I should like to know, Faith, if you deserve that one should run from one end of the world to the other for your sake." But Gerda patted her cheeks and inquired for the prince and princess. "They have gone abroad," said the other. "But the raven?" asked little Gerda. "Oh, the raven is dead," she answered. "His tame sweetheart is a widow, and wears a bit of black worsted around her leg. She laments most piteously, but it's all mere talk and stuff. Now tell me what you've been doing, and how you've managed to catch him." And Gerda and Kay both told their story. And schnipp schnapp schnurr bushler, said the robber maiden. And she took the hands of each, and promised that if she should some day pass through the town where they lived, she would come and visit them, and then away she rode. Kay and Gerda took each other's hands. It was lovely spring weather, with abundance of flowers and verdure. The church bells rang, and the children recognized the high towers and the large town. It was that in which they dwelt. They entered and hastened upon to their grandmother's room, where everything was standing as formerly. The clock said tick-tock, and the finger moved round. But as they entered, they remarked that they were now grown up. The roses on the leads hung blooming at the open window. There stood little children's chairs, and Kay and Gerda sat down on them, holding each other by the hand. They both had forgotten how the cold, empty splendor of the Snow Queen, as though it had been a dream. The grandmother sat in the bright sunshine and read aloud from the Bible, "Unless ye become as little children, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And Kay and Gerda looked into each other's eyes, and all at once they understood the old hymn. "The rose in the valley is blooming so sweet, and angels descend there to the children to greet." There sat the two grown-up persons, grown-up and yet children, children at least in heart, and it was summertime, summer, glorious summer. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Coco Club. I've had a lot of fun doing this series with you guys. I really hope that you'll be able to join me for Mrs. Sam's short stories coming up next week at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. Thanks. All the sounds in this recording are found on freesound.org. Thank you.